Unfiltered Love Radio. Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love people? Shit, God can listen, because I listen from heaven to earth to me to you and settle it all in love. I am the Freedom Coach, and you are listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. Woo! Let's talk about today. So look, if you live in America, of course, a lot of stuff is going on, right? We got trials, we got persecutions, we got people dying, we got mass shootings in California. Rest in peace to all those people. We got to make sure we get this gun thing under control. So hopefully this fool gets impeached and we can live on with life. Other than that, we got a good show for you today. You won't just be hearing me talking. Got some people in the studio. I'm actually going to record two shows. So y'all be praying for my voice and hope that it, you know, stay up, stay with it. But we're going to get into it. A lot of times in life, you meet a lot of people. You see a lot of creative things. And sometimes you think things are just dope, right? This is the feeling I have for like my first, the first person I'm going to interview on the first podcast. And I don't know. I was mesmerized, but then I kept getting bombarded because we got somebody in the studio who, y'all gonna hear. Y'all gonna know. I'm gonna just say the word project. And most of the audience out there, they know. I didn't tell you laugh during my intro, nigga. And so most of the audience out there, y'all know when I say the word project, I've used this a few times in about three podcasts. And most of y'all got it because I get the little replies on Twitter or the little stars. And you know what's up. So if you're listening on the Anchor app, thank you for listening. I know you're listening live. You're going to hear my song and then you're going to hear another song. Then we're going to get into it. I'm actually going to pay them on the podcast because that's the only way I can do it with Apple and them did not cut it off. If you're listening live, you probably just heard my boy Rob J. I Like What I Like. Shout out to him. I'll be with that guy in New York this weekend. He has a song with the baby, so go support that. Go stream it. Put it on all your platforms. What else I got to tell y'all? I don't know what else I got to say. You listening to Unfiltered Live Radio. Let's go get it. I want y'all to rock to it, vibe to it, go download it, go get my streams up. You know, it's hard out here for a pimp and these gangster lifestyles when you out here with a bunch of rappers and singers and stuff. You know, I'm just trying to promote positivity and positive music. It's your guy, Kid Listens. I'll be right back. Unfiltered Love Radio. You know where you're listening. Yo, what's good? You listen to Unfiltered Love Radio. Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love people? So, I'm back. I'm in the studio. Got a special guest for you. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah.
All right, wait a minute. We ain't about to start this sexy Barry White shit. You're listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. We're going to try this again. Would you like to introduce yourself, special guest?
Yeah, this your boy, D'Angelo Xavier.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's like the wackest intro I think I've ever had of anybody coming in here. D'Angelo Xavier.
Yes, sir.
What's up, bro?
What's good?
Talk to me.
What's up?
Why you here? Who are you? What do you do? Like, you act like niggas know you. So, he act like he Beyonce. Like, Beyonce just walked in. Hey, it's your boy, Young Tilchi. No! He act like, man, we're putting a man to mom. You the baby? No, bro.
Of course.
I'm D'Angelo Xavier.
Yes, sir.
Who's D'Angelo Xavier? I know all of y'all wondering who's D'Angelo Xavier. I'm wondering, too. And I'm going to tell you why I got him on here in a few minutes. But I'm going to let him introduce himself properly, like he's at a job interview or something. Or like a podcast interview. Or like he's on Unfiltered Love Radio. Let's try it.
All right, my name is D'Angelo Xavier. I'm a hip-hop artist from Norfolk, Virginia.
Oh, you're a hip-hop artist.
Yes, sir.
Now we can have a talk. Because, you know, if you ever walk in my office and I'm ever interviewing and you go, hi, my name is D'Angelo Xavier, I'm like, okay, great. Well, you're just like a black man with braids or whatever. So, I mean, I wish I could see this guy because, you know, then you'd be like, oh, well, thanks for coming here. You're trying to wash my windows or something? Are you the cleaning guy? I don't know. But now that we know you're a hip-hop artist from...
Norfolk, Virginia. Yes, sir.
VA.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I live here now. I feel like I've been in Virginia so long that I should just start claiming residency. I'm going to start lying and be like, yo, I went right to Norview. But, you know, it's one of them schools. I'm going to pick a school.
No, maybe. Don't rap Norview.
Granby?
No, Booker T.
I can't rap Booker T.
Why not?
You have a lot of weirdos that go there. And y'all band thinks y'all the best band in like all of high school, but they're really not.
They're the greatest
I've heard three bands in high school that actually outperformed them. And, you know, they went to this parade. They just knew that they were it. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know if that's really a true story. But I'm going to let you live. Hip-hop artist. Define hip-hop.
Define hip-hop?
Hum is not acceptable.
It's culture-based, man. It's
hip-hop is culture-based.
Yeah, man. It's about reality, you know what I'm saying? Not a lot of the stuff that you're hearing right now. A lot of that stuff is like gimmick. Hip-hop is more of like tradition, speaking on things that's going on in the world, things that you can relate to, anybody can relate to, honestly.
So you said a few words that kind of, you said gimmick, tradition,
yeah,
relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
As far as when I say gimmick, I'm talking about like the music that's popular now. A lot of the lifestyles that they talk about, nobody's really living those lifestyles unless you really have it.
And what are these lifestyles?
But like every day you like drinking, drugs.
I drink every day.
Every day?
Every day. Every day I come home from work, I have either a glass of wine paired with a steak or a Merlot. And if you ever go to Unfiltered Love Food, see, that's my time to go plug in. And you'll see me having a wine or cognac or brandy or some kind of rum with whatever food I'm eating.
Okay.
Because food and alcohol are supposed to be paired. It right. changes the palate and changes the taste of the food.
Right.
So, and there's others that drink every day. You know, people that have communion every day the proper way, they have it with wine.
No, but is that what you see in the music videos, though?
I don't watch videos. Listen to a lot of music. I forget that music videos exist. Yeah, but shout out to my homie of TRL, Jamila Mustafa, because you know she's a TRL host, and we get to do an interview real soon, because I know you said you're gonna listen. Hope this is the one you listen to. Let's get it.
But when I say gimmick, it's stuff that sells, you know, like sex sells.
Right.
It's like, you know, women showing their body, twerking, same thing. It's like guns, cars, alcohol, drugs. That's not really necessarily hip-hop. Unless you actually live that lifestyle and you can talk about it, a lot of the stuff that people talk about is not really their daily routine. That's not their lifestyle.
But what if it's a lifestyle that they've vicariously lived? or lifestyle that they've watched somebody live that really close to them? Or what if they really have lived this lifestyle? So, for instance, I'm from Compton, California, right? Grew up in Watts, grew up in Inglewood, grew up in L.A. I'm a kid of the city.
Right.
I didn't necessarily probably have half of the L.A. life. I grew up in the projects.
Okay.
I didn't bang. I didn't sell drugs. Well, I didn't bang. I'm not going to implicate myself on the podcast. But there's things that I just didn't do that people be like, oh, you're from L.A. Can you crip walk?
Right.
Oh, you're from L.A. Have you ever got shot?
Right. That's the perception.
But that's the thing. Right. So I didn't live that life. But you ask me anything about it, I can tell you how to flip a gram.
Right.
I can tell you how to have keys and chop them up and hide them in the oven so that when, you know, the feds come through your crib, you know where they are. Right. They will never find them.
See, and the same thing with, I'm from Stony Point on Newtown Road, and every day it was always something out there.
Right. You know? So did you live that life?
Like fighting and stuff? Yeah, when I was younger, it was dumb stuff like that I regret now, but it taught me stuff. Like the streets was like my dad wasn't around like that. So my father was, you know, the guys that I used to hang with. Like, that's how we learn stuff. Because, you know, when you have a mom who got four boys, she can't do it by herself. So I did things like that. But as far as, like, selling drugs, I never shot anybody. I shot a gun before, of course. The worst thing I probably did was, like, dumb kid stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, driving a car when I'm 12. Stuff like that. But running into
people. But see, that's not everybody's story, right?
Right.
So if that's not everybody's story from where you grew up and you go to tell that story,
right?
It's somebody's story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
your story.
You're right.
But like, what if you have? You have siblings?
Of course.
So what if they watch you do that dumb shit? What happens?
They snitch.
Right. But then that's also their story too.
Right.
So true. When you're saying people are not telling the stories and that they're gimmicky and that they're trendy and that they're doing these things, they're telling a narrative that they want, that other people want to hear about.
Right.
So when you say hip hop is, you know, fake or whatever you're, you know, getting alluded to.
Well, no, hip hop is the natural side of it to me. It's like lyrics, it's wordplay, it's trying to change the culture of like what we're going through, like, right now.
So who's more important, the art or the artist? Don't answer that. We'll be right back on Unfiltered Love Radio. Unfiltered Love Radio. All right, and we're back. So this man, we've been talking to him. He half-assed gave an introduction to himself, which is good. It's cool. You know, we all do that. We all don't introduce ourselves properly. One thing I've learned in life that's really great is, and it's from two of the hardest working people in entertainment, Beyonce and Lil Wayne, they never stop introducing themselves. You always have to, and in my practice and what I do, I always introduce myself, even if I go in a room where everybody knows me. And it's because at the end of the day, somebody in that room don't know you.
Right.
Or somebody in that room could be listening in that never met you and they just seen your name on an email, or they've seen your name for you. They've seen it on Instagram or an album, or, and they're like, well, who is he though?
Right.
So the art or the artist?
That's tough.
Now he's going to say this tough. I gave this man a whole, like, 12 seconds. He said, I got the answer to this, bro.
All right, so.
Don't they always get stumped?
No, I'm not stumped. So listen, it's a two-answer question. Because the art is, to me, depending on what the message that you're giving out, that's more important. Because, like, if you take someone who's, like, young and coming up, say if I'm putting violence into my music and they follow it, then they're gonna think like, well, I wanna be like him. And because of the music that I like. But if I'm somebody like, for instance, like LeBron James, he said, even when he was younger, and he's saying it to this day, like basketball, you know, can go away. But what I do on off of the court is more important. So it, like looking at that, it's like the person is more important. You see what I'm saying? The impact he has on the community.
Okay, like so you said the person is more important, right?
Both.
But you just said the person is more important. Yeah, did you not say those words?
Right.
All
right.
So the art has to be significant,
mm-hmm.
and the person has to be of importance, or they put themselves of an importance, right?
Right.
R. Kelly. That's a person who was important during the whole 90s, 2000s genre of music.
Right.
The person who wrote for Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Gerald Levert, Take Six, Kirk Franklin.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then his art, that's his art, right? Him as a person went through his own revelations, and we find out things. And then later, earlier this year, we find out a little more of what we already knew.
Right.
Right? Because we already knew this. It's not, none of this was a secret.
Yeah.
None of it was secret, but now it's like, oh, well, they created a documentary, put some propaganda. They decided that they were going to market it a certain way and package this. Mm-hmm. So we've been packaged a story.
Right.
One, a side of a story.
To make money.
Right. So, R. Kelly. Well, art of the artist. What was more important and more pinnacle at that moment?
His art, though, right?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
You're talking about... You're
talking I know about, for me what the answer is.
You talking about now? Like, now or you talking about in the past?
I mean, it didn't matter. Because what happens is the art and the artist, they usually go hand in hand, right?
Right.
And whatever the artist is feeling, is what you said, and that's what I agree with, is that's what's going to be portrayed out. So when he said, feeling on your booty... He was probably really feeling on somebody's booty. When he said, I'm about to put my key in your ignition. Mm-hmm. When he says, you know, do you mind if I give you some of my, you know, little 12 play? We like, okay, yeah. Cool.
But in that case, would you listen to R. Kelly music right now?
Yes, it pops on my playlist.
So his art is more important.
And I'm sorry for all you cancel people. I have another podcast earlier in the time because if you want to cancel people and you think that that's okay, then me and you should have a conversation and talk about grace because grace is for everyone. Continue.
I feel like the art is more important if that's the case because you basically like shun like what he's doing in real life and you still actually like love his music. So the art was more important.
Okay.
Because of the fact that he still can make you feel some type of way, or like for females, he can make females feel some type of way.
For y'all, for niggas too.
I mean, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, obviously we feel some kind of way because you go like, oh yeah, let me, because like right now, be like, let me put some Trey songs on. Actually, for us, we probably would say, let me put some Chris Brown on. But I'm just saying, people that like, oh, if they need mood to do whatever they need to do,
right? Yeah.
They're going to put on some type of music.
Right, exactly.
Some division, some, you know.
But when you listen to the music, you're not thinking about, oh, R. Kelly has kids. You think like, R. Kelly dope. You see what I'm saying? So in his case, yeah. But in certain, like, other people's case, that's why I said the two answer question. Because it all depends.
What kind of art do you portray? And what kind of artist are you? And who do you want to be seen as?
I want to be seen as myself. Like
my, well, that tells my me brand, a lot because I don't know you.
No, listen. Let me finish.
I want to be seen as me.
My brand is being yourself because nobody can be you but you. Who you can't be a better version of me because I'm me. You're not me. So if you're talking about as far as idols, I look up to like Kendrick.
I didn't even ask you who you looked up to yet. Well, but if you want to answer that, go ahead.
I mean, this will help you get your answer. So I look up to Kendrick's, you know, and this is not a political answer. I really do listen to Kendrick's. I listen to Logic. I listen to J. Cole. I listen to Isaiah Rashad. I listen to...
That's my guy. I'm so happy you said him. He gets left out so much of the conversation, and he's dope.
Dope.
Like, one of my favorites.
Because he's himself.
Right.
He really is. He'll tell you that he used to, like, I seen an interview. He'll tell you, like, I really popped pills before.
Yeah.
And Top told him, if he don't stop, he's going to get cut.
Yeah.
And that's what he talks about. I listen to, like, everybody in TDE, honestly. A lot of people sleep on my episode, but.
And that's right. A lot of people sleep on my bro, my fam, my cousin. Sir. Nobody, you know.
Oh, yeah, sir.
Nobody. Everybody sleep on. Hey, bro, they sleeping on you, but you know, we've been holding it down. We've been holding it down since diapers.
Not everybody. I listen to Sir on new album like probably every day.
Yeah, it is dope.
But those are my idols. So, and like my the most iconic person to me, a lot of people say Jay-Z, but Nas is like my favorite rapper, number one.
That's good.
You know, so his storytelling is off the chart. So
you say Nas, Jay-Z, and you know that was a beef, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you listen to Jay?
The old Jay, not necessarily. I just recently became a fan. I have to watch The Throne.
Watch The Throne?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Because I was a Nas. I'm a Nas fan. I ain't really banging with Jay-Z.
So that's interesting because I'm from the West Coast. So obviously, I'm a Pac fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like, I think I like art. And I like people who can express themselves authentically for who they are.
Right.
So I love Biggie too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, it was like, well, I grew up on the West Coast. I knew nothing about East Coast life.
Right.
So coming to live on the East Coast, I start hearing more East Coast music.
Mm-hmm.
So I start hearing Biggie more than I hear Pac. And that's like weird to me, like, wait a minute. Y'all play Hypnotized, but y'all didn't play California Love?
It's crazy because I feel like a lot of people play Biggie more. It's kind of the same way, like, when I say people sleep on Absol. Like, asshole is so abstract, just like Lupe. You have to listen to, like,
speaking of Lupe, do you think the world is flat?
Hope.
So we back. This man, you know, it's other people in the studio. They, you know, we about to get into this conversation. We gonna let this man answer. Is the world flat?
I don't know.
That's a good answer, actually.
I really don't know. It could be, but I would say no, because if you travel all, like, actually go across, like, the whole world, would you end up, how, if it was flat, how could you end up back, like, where you were? You see what I'm saying? If you go around, like, if it's flat, you're going to keep going straight. Like.
Well, let's figure this theory out in real life, because, and for y'all that don't know, I'm taking a sticky, and I'm going to give it to him in his hand.
All right.
Go around the sticky.
Oh, you talk like in a square?
You said
I'm saying the world is flat. Like, all right, see, but look, I'm thinking like this.
So he's folding a sticky. I'm going to do ESPN play-by-play. I'm going to be Stephen A. You're folding a sticky? Why are you folding the sticky? I didn't ask you to fold it. If the world is flat and you say it's flat, then D'Angelo Xavier, I need you to explain that the world is flat. See, I gave him a sticky. He can't explain if the world is flat or not. Now, if he was going to go around, I would.
I'm saying
if
you would go upside down, but
how?
This the same way when you saying if it's round, you're going upside down. You're going around, right? So
I mean, I don't know.
Look, I just live in Norfolk.
So seeing that you live in Norfolk, Virginia, and I still say Norfolk, Virginia, or I could be like I'm from here, I'm from living Norfolk.
Oh, okay.
Which is
nah,
still interesting to me. But so. Tell me about this, you're growing up, like growing up and being inspired to do what you do now.
Honestly, growing up, I played sports.
What'd you play?
Football, ran track.
What was your position? And what?
Free safety.
Oh!
At Salem High School. Okay. I was a beast too.
And then track, what events?
4x2, 4x1, ran 100, ran a 200, did triple jump, high jump.
So you're a sprinter?
Kind of, something like that.
Okay.
I wasn't that fast, but I was fast.
You was fast?
Yeah.
All right. So, sports, how did that tie into this hip-hop thing?
Honestly, I love music. I always love music. A lot of people know him as Young Crazy, but Raymond, Joyce, we used to go, because we from the same neighborhood.
Okay.
We actually used to go, man, we were bad, but we used to go to like McDonald's on Newtown Road, and he used to rap back then when he was like younger. And we used to freestyle. That was back when everybody used to beat on the table with pencil. I was nice with it, too. Nice.
You was nice with it?
Dad, I can't do it no more, bro.
See, these people, they come in. No, you gonna do it. You just told us you was nice with it. You try.
No.
See? Wait a minute. Hold on. I can't stand when somebody tell me, I'm a singer, I'm a dancer, I'm an actor. And I'm like, all right, go ahead. Let us hear it. Let us see your talent.
Finish my story.
You ain't finishing your damn story. Hold on. And then they come in, and they like want to do what they want to do, and then they try to control the conversation. This is my radio station. This is what we do on this podcast.
Come on, man.
Go ahead.
It's been so long.
So me and Raymond, we were rapping.
Check this out.
And
see, I won't rap. But listen.
We were beating. Oh, you were beating on the table.
I was doing the beats on the table, so it was kind of cool. And I was like, yo, damn, I could be a goddamn producer.
Okay.
And I was like, nah. And that just went out of the, you know, went out of the water. And I was always a fan of music, though. Like, my brother brought me up to, like, Wu-Tang, Killer Army. A lot of people don't even know about Killer Army. But, like, Nas, Biggie, Tupac. And from there, and Method Man, Redman.
Oh, yeah. Brick City.
Yeah. So from there, I was just like, yo, I like music, man. It's just like it. But us being outside all the time, just playing in the park, it was just like, yo, I'm real good at sports, man. I just need to do it. And I want to say it was my junior year of high school, I started doing poetry. And I was in this class called Junior Great Books. And it was all about writing and journal. I mean, like journaling, writing, poetry. And
it was like a creative writing class?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so I was like, wait.
It was called Junior Great Books. Man, I used to win awards. I won like 3 trophies. I won like 2 or 3 medals, all from free verse.
No. Did you guys have a debate team? So did it fall under that? So it didn't fall under forensic science?
No, it was like a branch off from English class.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so when you did competitions, like, where were you doing these competitions?
In the class.
Oh, they were in the classes. Yeah,
and then, like, you know, military used to have, like, the art
doing displays.
Displays for like schools. My poems was in the things.
Oh, nice.
And I never did like that's how I knew I was good because like good with like words because I never used like A B type of rhyme schemes. It was free verse. All of it was free verse. Off on top, just writing. And I never knew how to write like to beats. It took me like a year to learn how to write on beats.
Yes, I'm learning that right now because I'm a poet, right? And I'm a creative writer, so I don't understand why am I supposed to follow a sequence when my words had nothing to do with the sequence.
Right, and you know it's crazy. The thing about it, me taking that year to learn, helped me know how to write a beat perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And like my cadences are great and all that stuff.
So you say write a beat. So when you hear people like Blueface, do you just like flip out the City Girls? Do you just kind of like, do your mind?
It's kind of like irritating.
Yeah, do your mind just like, please, just get on it.
Yeah. But I mean, I hear what he's doing, but it's just not my taste. It's not.
Right.
You know, but
respect the craft, but then it's like, that's not my style. I'm going to need you to actually, it's an art to it, right?
Right.
So it's like, so with this new, because you talked about gimmicks and new drama, or new trends, mm-hmm. do you think that with the trend and the way that is going, how will you be able to sustain?
Just being myself, like I said, following my brand.
But how do you pull in an audience following your brand if you're not a part of that universal brand?
I put it to you like this. Like, I have my own distribution. I run my own distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And before I started, I actually had a distribution deal. I didn't sign a contract, but I had a deal on the table in Amsterdam.
Okay.
Never met the person ever in my life. He just found me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, I like your music. You know, I had to get a translator.
Mm-hmm.
I had to download it so I could understand what he was saying. Because he said he's learning English, but it's taking a while. And actually, Ian was there. And he was like...
Who's Ian? Who's Ian? My audience homie, can't see Ian. They don't know who Ian is. Who's Ian?
Ian is one of the dopest actors in Virginia.
It wouldn't be Ian Payton, were you talking
about?
Yeah, it's
Ian
Payton. Oh, my. We're going to talk to this guy pretty soon, too, guys.
But
there's Zion Payton's the camera guy. Mr. Project himself. Y'all know Zion Payton.
Introduce me correctly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's sitting in the studio. I'm going to talk to this man. But we're going to talk to him later. Go ahead, continue.
The reason why I feel like it gravitates because the guy that never met me, he actually believed in me. And I went to the studio. I was working on Hall of Mirrors, my latest album.
Hall of Mirrors. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
But we'll be right back on Film to Love Radio. So you got a new project. It's your guy, Kalissons. We talking to D'Angelo Xavier, mm-hmm. Mr. Hall of Mirrors himself. We're going to talk about this project, Hall of Mirrors. Dope project, bro.
Appreciate it.
I think Us had just kind of came out,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell the story behind it, but Us had just came out. I had waited for Us for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the making of it. I watched every interview that they could possibly do. I'm a real fan of, like, people who have, I coined it, I don't know if anybody's going to coin it, but social thrillers, because it tells us to look at ourselves and our social settings and how we're doing. So I just coined it social thrillers.
Yeah.
If anybody steals that, I want my credit, because I've said it like 2 years ago that that's what the genre should be called, and that's the kind of movies he made. So when I'm listening to Hall of Mirrors, because Zion just kept posting and posting and posting, I'm like, who the hell is this? So I'm thinking maybe it's his project as a decoy.
Which, I don't mean to cut you off, it is a group project.
Right.
I know I'm doing the music, but they had a hand into it.
Well, when I watched the videos and kind of saw the little trailers and stuff, I was like, yo, this is kind of dope. And being able to take another person's theme, mm-hmm. and put it to your own craft, I think is unique. So
appreciate it. Thank you.
Good.
Thank
so you, tell us about Hall of Mirrors. What is Hall of Mirrors?
All right. Hall of Mirrors is exactly what the title says. If you ever went to a carnival, and you went to like the Hall of Mirrors, you can see yourself. You can see the reflection of yourself. But the metaphor behind it is basically, and I spoke about my brand like more than once already.
Being yourself, what is your brand?
Being yourself.
And what's the name of your brand?
When I say brand, I don't mean it's not a
tangible.
It's just like a way that I work. It's based off like...
So your mantra.
Yeah, basically.
So, but so this is the thing, and this is where, as a business person, mm-hmm. I'm going to help you. We're going to have a little business 101 here. As black people, and especially as artists, and as creatives, you're created to create, right?
Right.
So if you're created to create, that means that you're a creator. Mm-hmm. And that means you build other creators, right?
Right.
So a lot of the times, for us, we don't really, we brand ourselves and our models, and we have these mantras and these philosophies that we live by.
Yeah.
But we don't actually brand, we don't brand it. We don't market it. We don't sell it.
Okay.
So then we lose out on revenue.
Right.
So when I say the name of your brand, mm-hmm. I need you next time to come up here.
I got you.
Tell me the name of your brand. I need color schemes. I need mission, vision, and plan.
I got you.
Because that is what's going to drive us forward. Mm-hmm. That's what takes us out of being rappers to hip hop artists.
Okay.
That's what makes our art and our artistry as unique as they are.
Right.
Because it's leaving a legacy for the next generation. So continue your brand.
All right. So
in case y'all didn't know, that's how we build wealth. That's how we build economy. That's how we buy the block. That's how we write the policies and go into government and do what we got to do. It's because we're not just saying we're a brand. No, we have physical items that you need to buy.
Right.
So support and buy. Go ahead.
All right. So based off that theory, I came up with the concept of two characters. Aaron and Trey, which is portrayed from Ian Payton and Zion Payton. I put these two characters together, and Trey is the supporting character, which his real reasons of being there is being the thought of peer pressure. Aaron, who is the main character, he gets into a trance after he smokes, right? Mm-hmm. And basically falls into assimilation where everything around him is just like, I'll explain this like so many times and I haven't like actually explained it so long. But when they get to the carnival, okay, they get to the carnival.
We don't need the whole explanation. Okay. We just want to know the thought process behind it and how were you able to take what Jordan did related to who you are and what you wanted to kind of image.
Basically, the way I seen us when I first saw it, I thought about, okay, they're battling themselves, which that was true.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was like the total opposite, which was true. So everything that, say, if I was like scared, my doppelganger would be strong and like hero mm-hmm. type. So basically, I took that. It was just a guess. It was right before it even came out. And I took that idea and I used it into the project where everything that Aaron was seeing, the main character was seeing in the album and how he was portraying himself to be, it was all a front just to, you know, be somebody that
his So where did you get that knowledge base from? Is that something that you dealt with in your life, being able to have to be both?
It's more of stuff that I see. Like, I've seen a lot of stuff like that. Like, see, me, I don't care how you feel about me. I'm going to be me. And that's why I always...
Which is good, bad.
Right. It is. But at the same... You know, I know how to, like, lower sometimes.
Code switch.
Know? Yeah.
It's
yeah,
what we call know? It in corporate America. Dude, you're not a code switch. And I do it often because I'll be like, yeah, nigga, blah, blah. Oh, my God. Can you believe? Oh, my Lanta. I cannot believe that this actually happened.
Yo, but you know what's funny?
But it's my normal everyday.
Ian would tell you, because, you know, we were co-workers before, he'd tell you I don't switch at all. I don't care if I'm at work or not. And I know it's bad, but at the same time, it actually helps you sometimes, because in a corporate world, if they feel like they can get you, they just got you. If they feel like you're not scared
Let's
them,
talk about this. Time out. Flag on the play. So, this mindset... Mm-hmm. It's a normal mindset, and especially for black people, because that's my audience, that's what I talk to. You know, others listen, I appreciate you all. So, in our everyday, we think that we ought to be God, right?
Right.
There's a way to be authentic mm-hmm. and still be, and still the code switch.
Right.
So, for instance, every day, I wear big-ass earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have them on right now?
No.
You know why?
Why?
Because I was in court this morning. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that I talk to the judge any different.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people have titles and things because for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Because they served their time, they did their purpose, they have a thing, and I need something from them.
Yeah.
Right? So dealing with the kids I deal with and dealing with the adults I deal with.
Yeah.
If I still have big ass earrings on,
they'll look at you a certain way.
I'm still the same person.
Yeah.
So the other night, I'm on call this week, and hopefully I'm getting a phone call tonight while we're doing this, but I'm on call. So I go out, and you should still have a 9-to-5 to fund your dreams. That's plug, help you, listen, you got it, message. Because people think they could just be an entrepreneur, and, you know, you don't see me up at 4 in the morning writing my board, or 4 in the morning like, oh, I think this voice would be good for this. Oh, I think I need to do this for this. Oh, hey, what's good up for nobody sees that rehearsal part. And it just comes out natural now because I've been doing it so long. Yeah. But our mindset can never be, I'm me. Because the one thing is, when you say you're you, you don't leave open room for change.
Right.
And you keep telling yourself, nope, I'm just me. I'm just me. I'm just me. I'm just me. Always me. I'm me. And you move robotically, right? Mm-hmm. So then when it is time to change, grow, and to manifest new things, mm-hmm. you won't be able to.
Right. See, what I didn't mean it is that like that.
I know, but I need you. That's why I need you to explain it the way you meant it. Mm. Because when people are listening to you, and then they go, "Oh, I can just be me too," because we're always influencing somebody.
Right. Yeah. See. Yeah. Don't do it like that. Like don't. You know what I'm saying? Shun change, because everybody has to change. Everybody has to adapt. When I say I'm me, it's my way of thinking. Like, I'm not going to, just because somebody thinks something's cool, I'm not going to say, yeah, it's cool just because you think it's cool. I'm going to analyze it, figure out what's going on, and then I say, it's all right if I think it's cool a little bit, you know, but not, all right, yeah, it's cool. I guess it's just cool then, you know. I'm not that type of person. Or just
so you don't ride the waves of the trends that's going on, basically, but you understand and respect them.
Yeah. It's like if they say, hey, you need to, if we had a job, hey, y'all gotta start wearing slacks instead of, you know, shorts, even though it's like 90 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming in with no shorts.
But see, that's where the problem comes in then. Because mm-hmm. now you're at a job.
Yeah.
That's not yours.
Right.
Somebody else's company, vision, mission, and plan.
Yeah.
See why it's important for you to have a brand?
Of course.
Now, because it's for you. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to feature with you, right?
Right.
Are you just gonna feature with anybody?
Nah.
Why?
I'm kind of all right. This is the reason why I'm kind of tough when it comes down to who I like work with.
Why?
Because of the fact that if you're not gonna give me something that's 100%,
so like, if you're not gonna wear the proper uniform of the day,
right?
You get where I'm going here? Uh-huh. You gotta go.
Yeah.
It's not for you. You try somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
You listen to Unfiltered Love Radio. I'll let that sink in for him for a minute. Yo, what's good? It's your guy, Calistus, because I listen from heaven to earth to me, to you, and sell it all in love. I am the Freedom Coach, and you're listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. God can listen. We coming back. Man, we've had a good discussion so far. We've learned a lot. What's next for you?
I'm actually working. I'm actually working on a project for Zion.
Zion getting a lot of dang plugs today. You know what? We're gonna talk to Zion next episode.
I'm actually working on an album for 2020. It's no date like right now, because I don't want to put any pressure on myself. But it's an album about Norfolk.
Your city.
Yes, about my city.
That's nice.
It's piggybacking on a story that I told from my first debut album, White Walls, from a song entitled "Better Life for Danny," and I'm actually trying to write a film for it, and we're actually working on a short film called The Lick, right?
The Lick.
Yeah, The Lick.
Oh, The Lick. I think I've heard this before. What is that? Is that a project?
It's definitely
a
project.
So Zion is in here, right? And we just gonna hit this because now you mentioned it. So it's a project called The Lick. So it's a porno.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It is. It's actually, it's a short film.
It's a porno. That's what they call all short films.
And no porno. I forgot the character I'm auditioning for.
Don't tell them all this stuff. We gotta have you back when it actually happens. Yes.
Well, yeah, but
so you're working on a short film. You're working on some new music. What else you working on?
Short film. Oh, I'm doing a short film. I'm doing a short film for the album. Working on that.
And so you're gonna have a visual.
Yes.
Nice.
It's basically what I'm doing is doing what I was planning on doing for Hall of Mirrors, and some things fell through that we couldn't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So the album is gonna be basically the soundtrack for the short film.
So tell me this real quick before we get out of here. How do you find funding for the things you want to do?
Build relationships, honestly. Okay. Like the camera crew that I worked with before, I basically, instead of paying them directly, like just giving them money, I was buying equipment for them. Nice. So instead of like, to me, it makes more sense. Like, okay, you can go out and shoot other like people's videos and get money from them, but if you should be like, a person would want to better their equipment. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it made it seem like, okay, it's a win-win for you because later down the line, it's something that you don't have to finance yourself. So basically building relationships, and if people want to do it, they just do it. You see what I'm saying? So just like we were talking about before, like the contract as far as stuff like that.
So off the break, we kind of talked about business and kind of got into work ethics and making things actually solid and stone, so that way you're not just working with your friends, you're actually working with business partners.
Right. And like I always tell everybody, is I'm a rapper, or I'm sorry, I'm an artist.
Why did you change that just now?
Because I'm not a, like I said before, man, I feel like rappers are gimmicky. I'm an artist. I can do more than just like rap. I know how to harmonize.
So, but this is the thing. So when you put that under a genre of music, mm-hmm. it never says artist.
Mm. But they need to make one.
But who are you? So that's the thing. We are still defined by, even though we don't have to fit in those boxes, mm-hmm. when we put our music out, we have to put it under a category.
Mm. Do we?
I mean, you have to if you're going to distribute it. I mean, I've never seen a different way.
I just like to call myself an artist.
And that's good that you know you can, but, you know, it depends on what venue you're in. So sometimes I call myself the freedom coach. Mm. Sometimes I'm a counselor. Sometimes I'm a public speaker.
You're a counselor.
Oh, I'm a counselor. I am that guy. I'm that nigga. Sometimes I'm that nigga. Don't put me around too many females. I might be daddy. But, you know, we won't talk about none of that. Go ahead. Tell people how they can find you.
All right, you can find me on all social media. Instagram is @_D'Angelo Xavier. Twitter @_D'Angelo Xavier. You can find me on Facebook, D'Angelo Xavier is my artist page. You can find me on SoundCloud, D'Angelo Xavier, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, I'm everywhere. iHeartRadio, Pandora, YouTube.
Shit.
SoundCloud.
Artist says SoundCloud, okay. Idiot. Well,
listen.
TikTok, I'm on TikTok. Shit.
You can Shazam and shit.
And I don't have a profile on TikTok, but my music is on TikTok. You can find me on Instagram music also.
And Triller. Triller. Your music's on there too.
And I did not know that.
I didn't know that. You know how I know?
I
found it.
That's what's up.
And I was going to make a video to it today. But then I was like, I don't want to give away who my guest is.
Damn. Everywhere.
Everywhere, okay.
Every fucking way.
Because he's stuck. He's trying to think of every platform possible. MySpace, Black Planet.
Nah.
You know, he going way back in history. Like, nigga, you was on Netscape too? Yeah, I was on Netscape. I had an Ethernet cord hooked to my umbilical cord when I came out. No.
Nah. Shit, you can't find me on LiveWire and shit like that no more.
No. Whoa, this man used to make that money. But anyway, it was good talking to you, bro. I can't wait to hear future projects. It was good.
I'm going to email you. I'm going to let you hear it all today.
Right. You're listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. Hold on for the closing. Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love people? Man, that was a great interview. We talked to D'Angelo Xavier. It was phenomenal. I hope you guys picked up a few of those business lessons, a few of those things about being authentically you. One of the things is that it's good to be authentically us. It's good. You know, that's what I promote. We say this every day. Every time you hear this podcast, every time you see a video, a posting, anything, I'm always promoting you to be you because we are that awesome. We are that amazing. We're that unique. And nobody has our makeup. Nobody has our genetic foundation. They may look like you. They may sound like you. They may talk like you. But nobody has your fingerprint. And nobody can effectively change people like you can. Only you can be you. And so we heard a lot of that in the conversation today. So I like bringing on other people to say what I'm saying in a whole different way to different people. Because the mission is always the mission. To make you lit. To make you be free and live your mega life, right? I say it all the time. And I say it and I keep repeating it because that's the mission. I'm going to reach 7 billion people. I'm not going to reach 7 billion people by myself. I need your help and I need the help of everybody else. For me to reach 7 billion people is for me to give a message, to leave a legacy of the message. The message is the legacy, right? Be free. That's the message. It's up to you to share it, subscribe to it, understand what that really means. Get to know who your, what your freedom is and what you're doing with that. And share it. Share, like, subscribe, hit that star button. Go ahead and tell somebody about the podcast. Tell them to join in Unfiltered Love Radio. You know, we get a little ratchet, a little crazy over here. I'm ratchetly righteous. What can I say? I'm the dichotomy of who I am. But until next time, be free and live your mega life.